book of Psalms in the Old Testament, Psalm 26. This time we will read the entire psalm. Psalm 26, a psalm of David. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Amen. After sermon, we will sing Psalter 69, stanzas 4 to 7. 69, stanza 4 to 7. Let us turn again to the Word of God, Psalm 26. Our sermon text is verses 11 to 12. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Every week, we gather around the Word of God. We sing together unto God, and we bring our offerings unto Him. And then we, as body of Christ, also have fellowship with one another together in Him, in the service, also after the service. This week is more special as we are coming here together to prepare ourselves for the upcoming Lord's Supper. What are you bringing in your hand when you come unto God? Are you bringing with you a nice financial gift? Or rather, you are bringing a small gift unto God? Whatever it may be that you may think about bringing unto God, there is one thing that we should never forget. God is holy. He is perfect. Whenever we are presented before God, it is a real fact that we cannot overcome completely our weaknesses within us. No matter how good it may be that we are bringing unto God, still we are bringing ourselves together with them before His eyes at such gathering as this. At every worship, we are bringing ourselves unto God. It may be hard to imagine that we are offering ourselves unto God, but it is undeniably true. Proverbs 21:27 says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind." The psalmist in our text seems to know the great difficulty in approaching the presence of God. He knows that he is not perfect, but still he also realized that the true peace does not exist apart from God. How can we prepare ourselves before God knowing our infirmities and weaknesses? What are we expecting from partaking the Lord's Supper next week? What could be the ground on which we present ourselves unto God? Our theme this morning is a sinner's offering by grace. With the Lord's help, we'd like to consider three thoughts under our theme. First, the posture. Second, the place. And third, the praise. A sinner's offering by grace. The posture, the place, and the praise. David is speaking unto his God in this psalm. His tone is solemn. He knows who he is as a sinner before God. He knows who the Lord is as the Creator and the Righteous One. God is the righteous judge for all people. Nothing could be hidden before His eyes, even our most secret sins, our motives and plans and deeds that we did before Him. David knew what God requires of him as he was approaching the place of the Lord. His posture is rather humble than being proud of his good deeds and his self-righteousness. He would not hide anything from the righteous judge. Actual fact, he knows that he can't hide anything from all seeing eyes of the Lord. He repeats again and again, judge me, verse 1, examine me, verse 2a, prove me to be, try my reins and my heart, verse 3c. Then finally he realized who the Lord is, the Almighty, all-seeing God, from whom nothing can be hidden. All things are known to him. This makes him to confess his previous deeds in life. All his dealings with others before God are known. Although things may have passed in time, but still, he knows that God knows all those things. God remembers each item of one's life. Therefore, he mentions those evil things that he did not do. He did not sit with the vain persons. He did not make friends with the hypocrites. He would not even sit with the evildoers. His external purity seems to be almost perfect. Nevertheless, his posture is one of carefulness and humbleness. He knows who the Lord is. Deuteronomy 18:13 reminds of what we should be like along with various passages in the Old Testament. It says here, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For this reason, David, as indicated in our text, says, I will wash my hands in innocency. Children, you know you wash your hands before meals or to make yourself clean. You wash your hands. And no matter how hard you may wash your hands with soap or other detergent, still, your eyes may not see, but the germs are there. If you use microscopes, they are there. Just our naked eyes can't spot them. A sinner is a sinner, no matter what efforts he might try to make himself clean. By the standard of this word, the sin is there. This person did not do all those evil things externally. And he still realizes that he needs to be washed. Otherwise, why bother to wash himself again? More importantly, the hands symbolize all the activities that man does. The hands are instruments that we use to carry out our plans and thoughts. We use the hands to do the good works. There is an English expression that considers the word hand to be help. People often say, can you give me your hand? But the hands can be used in a very bad context too. Even in this psalm, David refers to the evil man, referring to their hands. He says, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. The sinner's hands are full of injustice and violence because they use their hands for such evil purposes. So David, as a sinner, approaches God in his offering. His perfection is not inherent because he still needs washing in his hands. Dear congregation, this morning we are brought to these examining eyes of the Lord. We are reminded of God's righteousness and His perfect standard. We may often tremble before God because of our infirmities and weaknesses. Our God has laid out the standard for offering. Deuteronomy 17:1 says, "Thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish, or any evil favoredness, for that is an abomination unto the Lord thy God." This morning we are called by God to examine ourselves individually and collectively. How was your past week? How did things go for you in the world? What happened since the last time you partook of the Lord's Supper? You may have struggled in your life. There are many evils in the world still while we are struggling to live as a Christian in this world. We cannot pretend that nothing happened. This morning we bring each one of us those evils back to the Lord. Not because we are perfect in those things that we did, but because we do not have any other place to go for washing our sins. He is powerful, yet gracious God. He is just God, yet also gracious God. Our need to be washed should be expressed in our humble posture. This applies to our preparation for the upcoming Lord's Supper. Let us examine our hearts and lives collectively in this coming week. Let us seek God honestly, laying all our shortcomings and deficiencies unto Him, so that God may graciously forgive our sins and He may give us grace in His Son, Jesus Christ. We especially seek God's grace so that our hypocrisy may be revealed. John Calvin says, "The outward washing alone, instead of profiting hypocrites, kept them at a greater distance from God. All the sacrifices and offerings unto God should be brought to the specific place in God's tabernacle. That is where the mercy of God is clearly shown." This leads to our second point, the place. David knew where God's mercy and truth are clearly shown. The altar is where people bring their offerings unto God. This special place is mentioned at verse 6. It says, "So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. The covenant keeping God's name is recorded with respect to this altar. The altar is where God's faithfulness has been shown repeatedly in the Old Testament. Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac all offered unto God altars. God's special favor was confirmed to these patriarchs at the altars. God's covenant with man was illustrated through the offerings and sacrifices. David knows that his offering may not be perfect before God's eyes. David knows that his person is not perfect before God's eyes. But David is reminded of this altar. Verse 3, it says, "For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes." The altar shows something of God's mercy, where they bring their offerings for their sins, and they know that through these offerings the atonement is made, and instead of their death, the animals are killed before their eyes and offered unto God. The loving kindness is shown before eyes in the tabernacle. We may approach God with great fear because God sees us through all his seeing eyes. We are fearful, but at the same time, we're not discouraged. We still are shown this mercy at the altar. We are encouraged to seek this shown token of God, of grace. Are you doing that this morning too? There are all kinds of sinners in the world. The evil sinners, those who went far away from the Lord. But there are other sinners who may maintain their external purity in one way or another, but still they carry the sins in themselves. I'm better than those other people who are not living like me. Still, we need God's mercy. There is no other way. We should not forget that all the sacrifices made in the Old Testament were pointing to the sacrifice by Jesus Christ. No other sacrifice could replace what Jesus offered unto God for sinners. On the very cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ paid the full price for the sinners. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The cross is the place where Jesus offered himself unto the righteous God. God's justice was satisfied fully through the cross. David probably may not have known fully this redemption plan of God in his days. He knew that God was the righteous judge who would search the deepest thoughts and desires of a sinner like him. However, his hope for the perfection before God was not ignored, nor he was discouraged. Yes, David was not perfect. He was like any other human beings in his fallen state. He struggled not to commit sins or fought in life not to fall into any sinful trap. He did not want to slide before God's eyes. All those desires as a sinner was finally satisfied through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. In that altar, David was accepted based on the finished work of Jesus Christ for salvation. In that altar, God's loving kindness is clearly shown before his eyes. The Lamb of God was slain and offered unto God for sinners like David. So, trusting his grace, gracious God, he cries, "Redeem me and be merciful unto me." Dear congregation, do you not also desire such perfection in your offering unto God? First and foremost, God cannot ignore our sins and iniquities before he accepts us. Then where is the place for our redemption? How could we be forgiven of our sins and still be accepted? Where could we find the satisfaction of our sins before God? David went around the altar of the Lord for the same reason. You need to look at the cross of Jesus Christ. There we can put our entire trust. There our debts are completely paid. There we could be finally liberated from the pending judgment of the righteous God because of his Son. If you look at the Lord's Supper, it is not another sacrifice. The bread and wine refer to the broken body and shed blood of Christ, but they themselves are not the body and blood of Christ. From this sacrament, we are indeed nourished and strengthened because our righteousness is provided by God through Christ. The spiritual presence of Christ becomes more real as sacrament than usual in the gathering of believers, assuring the believers of their righteous status before God. At the cross, our sins are rolled away. That is what we are going to remember at the Lord's table next week, as we partake of the Lord's body and blood. You may not be perfect, but you have desire for the perfection. That shows that you are also invited to come. According to Heidelberg Catechism question and answer 81, the following are invited: for those who are truly sorrowful for their sins and yet trust that these are forgiven them for the sake of Christ, and that their remaining infirmities are covered by his passion and death, and who also earnestly desire to have their faith more and more strengthened, and their lives more holy. Do you have the same desire as you anticipate approaching the Lord's table? Do you desire to be strengthened by the blood and body of Jesus Christ. And some of you are here with us, and you may not yet confess your faith in Jesus Christ. And I have to warn you that there is only one place for the sinners in this life and after this life. That place is a horrible place. The sinners are all gathered in this place, and they will be punished according to their sins. The psalmist here is pleading with God, not because he's not a sinner. He is one of them. But what makes him different from other sinners? His mercy. His loving kindness. God's mercy is shown to him. That is his only pleading ground. Otherwise, there is no difference between him and other sinners. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. We have looked at the posture and place regarding the sinner's offering. The final point of our sermon is on the effect of partaking of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is an occasion when we celebrate God's marvelous work. As soon as the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, escaping the terrible persecution of the Pharaoh, the first thing that they did was to praise God. So our third point is the praise regarding the sinner's offering by grace. This psalmist in our text specifies his intention behind coming to the Lord. He may have been struggling to keep his purity. He may be struggling not to slip in his steps. Also maintaining his perfection in life among the other sinners. He constantly tried not to be with the other sinners, realizing the serious consequence of being together with the sinners. Children, you know what happens when you put nice apple among those rotten ones. That rottenness will easily cross-contaminate the other intact ones quickly, rather. There is wisdom being separating the good apples from the rotten apples. But it is quite an effort to do that also in our lives. As you lead your godly lives, you realize that you live in a world where there are full of sinners. Whether you acknowledge it or not, it is the reality. And this psalmist intends to maintain his purity. And he also knows that what it takes to sin before God. The payment needs to be made. Every single sin, whether small or great, it is an offense before God. Every single sinner is required to pay the price for their sins. Otherwise, the destruction is unavoidable. God is righteous judge. Have you ever been on any debt to somebody or to an institution? The debt that you have could lay some mental burden on you. Your freedom could be limited. Here we have such a joy coming from the cancellation of debt. Once the righteousness of God is satisfied through the sacrifice, our hearts are filled with joy. We know that this particular debt with respect to God is something we could never pay back with our own strength, no matter how hard we may work. This joy being forgiven makes us praise God who accepts us on the basis of the works of Christ. It is indeed God's marvelous works that deserve our praise throughout life. Should we not sing praise God at the occasion of the Lord's Supper? By God's rich provision, we could escape such destruction. If there is any reason why God would not destroy us with all other sinners, that is only because of Christ's satisfaction of the justice of God. Every sinner's song is unto God for saving them from such destruction through Jesus Christ. The psalmist says at verse 12, "My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord." This praise is a response to the love of God. Our songs that we sing in the worship services should be based on the love of God. God has done great miracle in sending His only Son into the world to save sinners. His love has been shown through the sacrifice, and this love ignites the love of God in the hearts of the sinners. His love has been shown through the sacrifice. Apostle John says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be propitiation for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. 1 John 4:10, 11. Our songs and praises are filled with love because of this first love from God. In response to God's greatest love, we love God and we offer God our praises. The praise at the Lord's table also shows our determination for the holy living. We come to the Lord's table with serious desire for the holy living. We understand that we cannot live up to the perfect standard, no matter how much we make effort. Nevertheless, our determination does not decrease, but we are encouraged by God at the Lord's table. David says, "But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me." God already knows our weaknesses and infirmities, at the time of our coming to the Lord's table. But what matters is not how much we can do, but what God has already done. Our determination is strengthened by God's redemption for us in Christ. Finally, our praise at the Lord's table is from the peace we obtained with God. By being reconciled with God through Christ, we know that we stand in a firm place. This place is the only place we can stand on in this world. No other place is safe for you. All other places are sinking sands, and you will perish if you do not come to Jesus Christ. He is the only foundation for our righteousness upon which we can stand firm and we can stand in peace with praise to God. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. In God's eternal plan, every one of you are called to receive Jesus Christ as your only Savior. In this coming week, you may struggle to be perfect both in hearts and your life. In that self-examination, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, you may feel frustrated with your own selves. God is a merciful Father who accepts the perfect sacrifice by His Son. God be with you this week, that you may be clothed with the Son's perfect righteousness, and that you may be accepted and approved by the holy and righteous God. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. Amen. Let us pray. All-knowing God, how great Thou art. Thou knowest and searchest every single heart in this room this morning. We beg of Thee, Thy loving kindness and Thy mercy. As a sinner, show us, O Lord, Thy mercy on this day. Help us to sing unto Thee with grateful heart. We also pray for Mr. Steve Vandenberg, as he is going through a very difficult time with his recent injury. Please be with him and his family. We pray that healing would come in these coming hours and days. Be with us now. Forgive our many sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.